We haven't had a chance to talk on the radio with Jim Jordan for a little while. I thought this might be a nice opportunity to say hello and to congratulate you, Jim, on the star that is in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Fibber McGee and Molly finally made it to the sidewalk, right?
Yes, it's just about 30 years late is all.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so.
Back in the days, I don't know if this is interesting or not, but back in the days when the radio had a committee, which they picked people for that star along, and the picture people and the radio people, and something else I can't think of. Anyway, they wouldn't take a fictitious name.
Oh.
And Fibber McGee and Molly was a fictitious name, and what did Marion and Jim Jordan mean? That didn't mean anything to anybody. So we were always trying to plug one name and not two.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, we used to say Marion and Jim Jordan, Fibber McGee and Molly, otherwise Marion and Jim Jordan, uh-huh. played by mm-hmm. Marion and Jim Jordan. And we finally cut that out to simplify it, so we just used the one name. And that's when they wouldn't use it.
Did the in the days of radio, was the general listening audience, were they aware that Fibber McGee and Molly were your fictitious names?
I don't know.
I mean, did you think that when you got fan mail, it all came to Fibber and Molly, didn't it?
Oh,
not
yes,
to Jim
sir.
And Mary and Jordan.
Oh, yes.
Well, it was a nice honor.
Oh, the majority of people knew, of course, yes. But in writing publicity or anything that you did, sound or something that somebody's going to read, one name was simpler than four names. Two names.
That's right, yeah. Well, it was a nice honor, a little late maybe, but still a nice honor
to
have your
name. Well, yes, I'm sorry.
And basically, it's if I'm not mistaken, it's on Vine Street, just from the corner of Sunset.
Yes.
So that's virtually where the old NBC studios were for many years, right?
That's right. It's right in front of the NBC building.
Where you used to
broadcast. Which is now the
Savings and Loan.
Savings and Loan.
Yeah.
Yes.
You had, I think, another honor recently from Illinois, the Illinois Broadcast
Association. Yes, that was very nice.
Paid tribute to you.
Mm-hmm.
We were sorry to hear that you couldn't come to Chicago to Galena.
Galena, they had that. I often wondered why. They say there's some kind of a park or something, area.
I think there's,
quite beautiful.
Galena's very nice. And
I don't think I ever saw that. I don't know.
I think Ulysses Grant's home is there, and there's a lot of antique things and all of that sort of thing. Well, anyway, from all of your fans in the Chicago area who listen in regularly, congratulations on both of those two things.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to ask you, and I've really never asked you this in the past 10 years that we've had the chance to see each other. Are you officially retired?
No, I'm officially out of work. That's been going on now for about 30 years.
Well, you worked pretty hard for almost a quarter of a century.
Oh, sure.
With the Fibber and Molly thing.
Well, after Marion passed away, after a year or so, I started to find some way to, to get busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I never could make it happen. It always turned out, they always wanted me to do 40 weeks. And I didn't want anything.
40 weeks? What kind of offers did you get?
Well, nothing definite, but the things were presented to go on TV and play whatever they were, but you had to agree to do for a full season, which I didn't want to do.
Well, you had worked an awful long time for you worked a long time.
Oh, sure.
For many years,
and I didn't want to do that. And another thing was that we had sold our name to NBC, and it made it you couldn't do anything that would be CBS or any other network except NBC.
So you couldn't do anything that was Fibber McGee outside of NBC.
We had sold the name, and they said, whatever NBC said, you don't do that. We couldn't do, because they when we sold it, we intended naturally to go on with NBC, and then that was beginning to. That was in the beginning of the radio being replaced.
The
with
decline
television.
Of television.
Yeah, the decline of radio.
You and Marion never really did any significant television.
No,
did you?
No, we never did. We made one thing for to show the Johnson Company one time, but we never. I don't know if we appeared on television ever. I did after Marion's death, but some, very little.
Well, what have you been doing in your joblessness period?
Well, I'm active in the in one thing, which is the Pioneer Broadcasters.
Well, you're the chairman of the board of that organization, aren't
you? And that that's an honor too, because. Usually when a corporation has some guy that's been around for 100 years or so and they don't know what to do with him, they make him chairman of the board. So that's what the Pioneer Broadcasters did.
What is the Pioneer Broadcasters?
Well, it's just a group of people that get together and have lunch. That's our only purpose. We have no charitable thing that we do.
No causes?
Nothing. We've kept it that way.
But what you do, I believe, is you tie together all of the people from radio and television. I guess you have to be in the business out here for 25 years, is
well,
that?
Well, 15, yes. I forget. 20 years in radio and 15 years on television.
And we've been privileged to be at one of those meetings. Unfortunately, you were away at the at the time, and it was real nice to meet a lot of people there.
Yes.
And all the Southern California broadcasters. And
was it full?
Oh yeah, it was a full house.
Yes,
full house.
They have 600 to 800 people at those luncheons.
Yeah, it's really nice. Now, if you looking back over the years since the Fibber McGee and Molly show went off the air, personally did a few things. You did a voice characterization for the Disney Studios once, didn't you?
And yes.
Was that The Rescuers? Was that the...
That's right.
The movie?
I did, yes. That's what I say. I did a few things like that after she died, but not very much.
And I think
Because of the trouble. Nobody wants to buy you if they can't, you know... It made it difficult. It's so that
you mean by being
that we had to be on NBC. It had to be.
You mean to say you could not have been on CBS as Jim Jordan?
Oh, sure, but no. Who's going to buy that?
Well, you were on. Was Chico and the Man that one shot you did? Was that NBC?
Yes.
You didn't do that as Fibber McGee. You did as Jim Jordan.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't.
No, you didn't.
I don't remember.
You weren't Fibber. You remember the show, don't you?
Yes, I remember the show. But I was on NBC anyway, wasn't I?
Oh, well, it may have been. I can't recall. Well, you're out of work now. Would you, if the phone rang and someone said we'd like you, Jim Jordan, to do a Love Boat, would you work whatever it takes, a week to 10 days to do it?
No.
You just like the Social Security checks coming in too much, is that it?
Well, not the just not the Social Security, but I have enough to keep us. And I'm not a rich man or anything, but we have enough, and it requires a lot of time to take care of it.
How do you spend your time now?
Well, I spend it, like I say, take care of our things that we have, investments, about half the time. The other half the time I spend looking for my glasses.
Well, that would take up a lot of time.
Oh, you bet. A lot out of you.
I bet it does. When you, I suppose you probably don't think spend a lot of time thinking about the radio days, but I'm sure that you must have some fond
I don't.
Thoughts.
I think of myself as being in the business like I always was, which, but I'm actually not, because I'm not doing anything in it. And except I keep alive and with the Pioneer Broadcasters, it keeps me active, and it's all the group of guys that I grew up with, and there's just a couple of hundred of them like that, you know.
Do you have a special moment from your career that you recall as one that maybe was lifted above all the other wonderful moments of your broadcast career?
I think the high spot in our career came in Toronto. When we went there to do a Red Feather.
Like a Crusade of Mercy.
The last Bond thing that they had after World War One. That's what it was.
World War Two.
Yes, World War Two. And that was a high spot to me.
Was there a time when you thought during your career, you and Marion, you thought that you just weren't doing it right and it wasn't being accepted and that you would end up giving up this thing is known as show business?
Well, I don't think there's any particular time like that, because we went on the radio in we don't know whether it was 24 or 25. And from that time until the time we did for McGee and Molly, we did dozens and dozens of different things. And no, we never.
So it was always forward-looking.
Well, that's right.
And you stayed with it.
If you might be doing this today, and tomorrow you're doing something else.
Well, we're glad you did it. Yes, we're glad you did it.
We had a vast experience in those 10 years. Believe me.
I would say.
And we were busy every minute. We weren't getting rich. We weren't making any money much, but we were paid. And we were just, we were busy all the time.
You mean the 10 years before you started as
Fibber and Molly? Before Fibber, McGee,
yes,
and Molly.
Well, those were good days as Fibber and Molly as well. And
see, we were on the network for 4 years before Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
Was that with the Smackout?
That was with Smackout, and we did shows that we came in at night, 15-minute special shows. See, we were a singing act.
Marion and Jim.
Yes, that's right. And we didn't start to talk on the radio till few years before we did for McGee and Molly.
Well, when you started talking, you talked up a storm.
We really did.
It was good stuff.
But well, all those years we were doing something. We were always aiming at, we never had a commercial. We did some commercials during that time. We did a show, one thing we did was a show that which we played two characters. In a show like One Man's Family, and remember? This was a thing called The Smith Family.
Yes.
And those were the kind of things that we did. We did, and that was a great experience that we were getting in those years, doing those things.
Now, you've been married to Gretchen Stewart for how long?
22 years, I think.
22 years.
And
I'm sure Gretchen has kept you active and hopping in these last these days.
Well, she's slowed down a little bit too.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. She's as charming as ever.
That. I mean that she just isn't. She just got through taking care of a sister of hers that was ill. She was here for a while, and that takes
some trouble. Yeah, you've got a You've got a birthday coming up next month, haven't you?
That's right.
What is this going to be?
88.
88.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
No, I think 90 will be the big one.
90 will be the big one.
Mm-hmm. I had one at 85.
85 was a big one?
Yeah, well, that was one. 90 will be another one if I make it.
You'll make it. You'll make it. I want to be, maybe I am the first to wish you a happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Because I don't think I'll be out here on November the 16th.
You'll edit this and put in what you take out what's...
Sure.
I didn't have anything particular I was going to say that I didn't want to be on here, but...
Well, I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday, and I think I bring along with me the wishes of a lot of the people, your fans, still, in the Chicago area, yeah. who
It's amazing. I'm glad you brought that up. It's amazing that the number of fans I have that are 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Fibber McGee and Molly is being played all over the United mm-hmm. States every week.
That's right, yeah. And I think it's a testament to the writing and to the talented people on that show that makes it just as good today it was you're talking almost 48, 49 years
That's
ago
right.
when the whole thing started.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And we do hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suspect you're going to hear
it. Especially 15, 16-year-old high school mm-hmm. kids that have found out about this and other radio shows also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they find out that this is something you sit down and listen to it and you don't have to look, and that's a new experience for
mm-hmm.
them.
It's a challenge to the imagination,
yeah,
isn't it?
That's right. That's right.
Because the pictures have to be, well, you're drawing the pictures.
That's right.
You're the person drawing the pictures. Well, you've drawn a nice picture for us today. It's delightful to sit in your living room and chat for just a couple of minutes.
I can't
for
see
our
this
listening
watch.
Audience. It's 7:10, and we're going to dinner, right?
Yes.
Thanks very much, Jim. It's nice to talk with you again.
Well, we have another minute or two.
Sure.
If you have anything.
Well, I just wondered if you had anything more you'd like to add.
I don't. I can't think of anything.
You know what we'll do? We'll turn off the tape, and then we'll have all kinds of things to talk
yes,
about.
Yes, that's right.
Well, let's talk about it and turn off the tape. Thanks, Jim Jordan.
Well, thank you, Chuck. It's good to be back doing something.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Does that mean I have to pay you for this now?
No. No. But there have been some things that I've been asked to do that I've refused to do.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
I don't want to name them.
No. They don't want you to disrobe or anything for...
No, but they want you to do it for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And I've refused.
Mm-hmm.
On the basis that if I'm filling their time, mm-hmm. I'm depriving somebody that may need work. Out of that little bit of radio time that they could be doing.
Oh.
If I make myself clear.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying. But are they asking you to fill an acting role or to be interviewed?
They want the interviews mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do they want the interviews for?
Well, I think they want the interviews probably because there's an audience listening who is interested in what you would have to say.
That's right. I'm interested in doing that if I can get some dough.
I feel a pinch coming down here.
No. And the point is, the way I feel about it, when I do these interviews,
mm-hmm.
I have nothing to gain from the interview. Mm-hmm. I don't want exploitation. If somebody's getting some... They're filling time with what I do,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and they're getting it done for nothing. That's way I feel about it. And when I do that, I might be depriving some poor actor, like I was half my life, mm-hmm. that could be getting paid for doing something like that, or for filling that time.
If not in dollars and cents, in a promotion for something he is trying to promote.
Well, if I was working, mm-hmm. and I wanted to exploit myself, mm-hmm. why, I'd do anything. We used to tell a story about Hope, and it's just about true, that he was in New York one time, and at the time he had about a half a dozen writers, you know, that went every place with him.
Mm-hmm.
Six or eight guys, or 10. And some guy answered the phone, and he was talking on the phone, and the fellow hung up the phone, and Hope was sitting there. He said, "What'd you hang up for? It might have been a benefit." And that's the way he was. He figured that a benefit was as valuable as anything else, uh-huh. and it was. Uh-huh.
Well, it was more exposure for him, yeah.
But now, benefit to me doesn't mean anything. If I could be doing a benefit that I could feel was helping somebody, mm-hmm. that'd be one thing.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jim.